This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're on when you're off. Evening edition on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, I'm Uma Paganampake-Pagan.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Oh.
Budget 2015 is still being announced by the Prime Minister.
It's been going on for a while.
It has, almost coming up 2 hours now, just over 2 hours. We're going to help you make sense of what has been announced already. We've got with us two experts from Deloitte, tax experts from Deloitte. We've got Ang Wei Na and Tan Hui Beng here with us, and hopefully we shall make things a little clearer for you. But before we begin, let me just outline what the budget allocation is. The 2015 budget allocates a total of 273.9 billion ringgit, which is an increase of 9.8 billion compared to 2014. Of the amount, 223.4 billion is for operating expenditure, while 50 billion is for development expenditure, right? So, welcome back to the show. This is the third year you're doing this with us.
We can't do it without you.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're our tax rock star.
And Hui Beng, it's your first time, so welcome to BFM.
Tell
us, right off the bat, has there been anything over the last 2 hours that's particularly grabbed your attention?
I think everybody was looking at what's the new outcome, anything new coming out from GST, the Goods and Services Tax. Certainly, I think the Minister of Finance has given very, very promising news, especially on the basic household items, more definite guidelines and thoughts. Well, we'll cover that in more details later. We know about the drop in percentage, the income tax rates for the individual income tax. But very surprising was the announcement on the chargeable income ban, where, you know, currently where you are having the 100,000 chargeable income and you get taxed at the highest marginal tax rate, is now increased to 400,000. So what it means to say that even those in the higher income level category, they get to enjoy a little bit of this budget announcement. So it's not only right yet to the lower income or middle income, the high income people also gets a little bit of that pie.
Have we heard anything disappointing just yet? You're sounding very optimistic so far.
Disappointment, the reliefs, we're going to look a little bit on the claims of tax reliefs. I think it's minor, but it's not exactly as huge as we want.
Right. Nothing contentious?
Not really, on the corporate end, Hui Beng, anything else?
Hui Beng, how do you think investors are going to be reacting to this budget?
I think from the corporate tax standpoint, the government has reaffirmed that there will be a reduction of 1% corporate tax rate from year assessment 2016 onwards. So that is a good surety for the Malaysian investor as well as the foreign investor. So that is something good. And from corporate tax standpoint as well, I think if you can see, one of the most interesting actually proposal here is that for the Malaysian government to consider making Malaysia a global hub for multinationals. It simply means it's a situation where Malaysia wants to compete with, for example, Singapore. Singapore have what we call a Global Traders Program, and then Malaysia now is trying to do something like that, maybe better, in that sense, attracting all multinationals to come to Malaysia and base their hub here. In the past, Malaysia has various incentives like OHQ, Operational Headquarters, Regional Distribution Center, but all those are probably a subset of all these. And now the Malaysian government is really looking at something big, attracting all the multinationals to come over. And we would expect that a good tax incentive will be given, maybe 20 years tax holiday. So that's something interesting. Yeah.
So they haven't actually outlined the specifics about how they're going to implement this multinational hub, if you will, right?
You're right, yeah. So it will be based on case-to-case basis. That's why it's going to be called, it's under a pre-packaged incentive, yeah.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on what impact this will have on the government's treasury? I do understand that it is case by case. It's a little bit unfair.
Yeah, I mean, as always, whenever the government give incentive, right, the issue is what would be the loss of revenue to the Malaysian government, for example, 15 years tax holiday, right? But then this will be balanced by all the multiplier effect. For example, there'll be more expatriate based in Malaysia paying more income taxes, more usage of ports, more usage of real estate banking system.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Devil's in the details.
Definitely.
All right, so just to outline further, Budget 2015 is formulated on 7 strategies which the Prime Minister has outlined. It was strengthening economic growth, enhancing fiscal governance, developing human capital and entrepreneurship, advancing Bumiputra agenda, upholding the role of women, developing national youth transformation program, and prioritizing the well-being of the rakyat. Now, I think he's on the 6th strategy in his speech at the moment, or well, while we're on air, he may have moved on to the 7th now. So, you know, we'll definitely be updating you with any new information as well. But very quickly, before we go to a song, I wanted to know, when it comes to the enhancing fiscal governance, which is right off the bat, which is what was he talking, what the Prime Minister declared, was there anything that you felt was particularly surprising? Because from what I was listening, it felt very similar to the steps taken last year. So it's like, you know, let's stay the course with subsidy rationalization, let's stay the course with GST.
It's called commitment to the cause.
Yeah, commitment to the cause. So, you know, is it safe to say that it was status quo, stay the course?
I guess it's because probably GST is going to be implemented next year.
Yeah.
So they just want to make sure that if there's any change, it's got to be kind of a subtle change to get people used to that new system. He has also elaborated on how much income is going to be derived from the GST, but then again, he also mentioned about the loss of sales tax and service tax. Mm. And then coupled with the give back to the rakyat through a lot of subsidies and BRIMs. So net-net, he was saying that there's not much gain, actually, despite the fact of the GST implementation.
But he said that would be early days, right?
Yep, that's correct, yeah.
All right, we're going to a very quick song, Ra Ra Riot, Can You Tell? More with the budget after this. BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you. We're talking Budget 2015. It's still going on. The Prime Minister would be winding it up by now. He's already been speaking for just over 2 hours and 15 minutes. We've got with us two Deloitte tax experts, Ang Wei Na, who has been here many, many times to share budget analysis, as well as Tan Hui Bing. It's his first time, so we'll be nice, to break down exactly what's been going on.
Gentle to the new ones, aren't
we? Yes, we are. We ease them in.
Yeah.
So let's talk GST, folks. I mean, that's rolling out April 1st, 2015. Everyone is stressed out about it. So what has the Prime Minister said today that has kind of, I guess, allayed some of those fears?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just about 2 months and so before the taxpayer has to register themselves for GST. And then for 3 months from there, it will go live, GST. So there is a silver lining, definitely, in this budget, because you could see that the riot has been have been waiting for quite a fair to understand what exactly will be zero rated or exempt rated, any additional items, especially with regards to petrol, so on and so forth. So the Prime Minister has made it clear this round. The good news is that there'll be additional items that will be exempt or zero rated from GST. Among others, interesting things are fruits, white bread, wholemeal bread, coffee powder.
All fruits, right? Even international fruits.
Absolutely.
That's correct. The imported fruits.
Yeah. So that's the good news. And also, equally important is with regards to certain medicines, about 2,900 medical brands, medicine brands that will be exempted or zero-rated from GST as well. So that is something very significant to the rakyat as well. Yeah.
Is that just upon implementation for a short period of time, do we know?
Normally, I don't know actually, because normally the zero-rated things like food items and medicine tend to stay like that in a lot of countries, so I don't know whether there's a time limit.
Yeah, I mean, the zero-rated exam supplies will be gazetted, and I believe it's soon, it's today, will be very soon. And normally, you stay as a law until the day that, you know, the law is changed, right? So, yeah, you stay there for a while.
What was interesting for me is at the beginning of his speech, the Prime Minister said, you know, he wants an economy driven by knowledge. But in the among the zero-rated items, when he was talking about books, reading materials, he only mentioned colouring books. I'm not joking. Exercise and reference books, textbooks, dictionaries, religious books, and newspapers.
Oh, so, Uma, we can learn about fruit now.
Yeah, but in my opinion, I guess all books or reading materials should be tax-free. But
that's,
you know,
correct.
It could be. We don't know yet.
It could be. So we just have to look at the details into the GST Act or the guide as to what books do they refer to.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it says reading materials such as, it may not be the full list. So just got to wait for a while.
Right. So from this and from what we've heard so far, do we know exactly who it'll have the biggest impact on?
I think it's quite a gradual. It will not be a drastic one. I mean, people have also asked whether is it time to buy the cars now?
Or houses.
So I mean, houses. We have heard that residential properties is going to be exempt. So essentially, to the consumer, that's it's not going to be impacted. Yeah. Whether cars will be cheaper, because GST. Essentially takes over the sales tax. So cars with sales tax now that have been abolished, are we expecting that the 10% now it's replaced by the 6%? So are we expecting prices of cars to be reduced? Mm-hmm. But bear in mind that a lot of the auto parts are imported.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then with the weak foreign exchange rates that we have.
Right. It's passed on to the consumer.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of offset. So whether or not, and then plus there are many other factors to look at. So do we eventually see a very much reduced car price? It's very much to everybody's guess, actually.
So one of the goodies, though, was about petrol, right, and GST. So the Prime Minister announced that RON 95 diesel and LPG will not be subject to GST.
But he did say that there's going to be more subsidy rationalization in respect. Now, how is it going to be? Is it going to be a targeted subsidy program, i.e., for example, those in a higher income, you'll probably be enjoying a very much reduced subsidy. But how are they going to track it? Mm-hmm. There were initial talks to say that someone who drives into the petrol kiosk with a certain CC of car, then you get X amount of subsidy. Someone with a higher Mercedes of BMW, then you get... Wow.
Yeah, I do remember that conversation going on, but it was rife with potential for abuse, of course.
Exactly, exactly.
No, but it's scary, right? I mean, I don't know how you even implement something like that. Mm. Because obviously you need the buy-in of the petrol station people, and they don't have, and you know, they should be above board as well. And
I
not
mean, a verification process is almost impossible.
Well, you're talking the whole revamp of how the structure of the petrol kiosk is going to be. Mm. Yeah, are we going to insert our MyCard with the chip there, and that is probably, is it going to be linked to the Inland Revenue?
Wow.
On income tax, income declaration? This is going to be a whole game change, you know?
Yeah, because the Prime Minister did say, he said, we will be rolling out a new method.
That's correct.
But the methodology will be announced at a later date.
It'll be interesting to see.
Right, so now when it comes to GST though, Huibeng, we mentioned that, you know, they only have 2 more months to register. Just, I guess, for people's knowledge, what happens if they don't register by December or January 1st?
Yeah, I mean, the law is clear. So if you don't register, there will be a hefty penalty for the taxpayer. And then above that, the problem is if you're not registered, then you can't charge GST on your invoice or your sales to your customer. And most of your customers are waiting for a what we call a tax invoice, and you are not able to give a tax invoice, and probably then your customer say, hey, maybe I'm not going to get any more supply from you until the day you're registered, right?
Are these teething problems? I mean, are they to be expected more or less?
Now, if you look at the statistics, I think the number of registrants have increased over the months, given various reminders. And I think most of the taxpayers will get themselves registered. It's not a difficult process in that sense.
And we're a last-minute nation.
That's true. And you know, towards the end, that is Christmas time, so on and so forth. So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, a last-minute thing, probably.
That's a gift to yourself, register.
So, now, in most countries in the world, whenever GST is implemented, I guess there is the significant personal income tax
reductions.
You touched upon that earlier.
Yeah, that's correct.
Could you just elaborate?
Well, we do see that personal income tax rates are supposed to come down when there's the introduction of GST. So this is where we are looking at the reduction of 1 to 3% effective from the year assessment 2015. So what this means that it's only relating effective for the 2015 income and onwards. So we're now in 2014. So next year when we fall in the 2014 income,
it doesn't
come in.
But is that 1 to 3% I suppose a reasonable amount to be looking at? I mean, surely we hope for more.
Yes.
but is that enough?
Really, we don't have the statistics right now. Mm-hmm. Don't have on hand.
Right.
It's at least it's something rather than nothing.
Oh dear.
And I think probably one has to be realistic as well, with regards to the reduction of rate. It has to take some time to go down gradually and not immediately, because otherwise the deficit will never be closed, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at 3% heading towards 2020. Yeah, 2020 for a balance.
Yeah.
Now, am I right in thinking that they did increase the tax liability income? Because I think he said taxpayers with a family and income of 4,000 ringgit per month will not have tax liability. Is that higher or is that status quo?
I think what they're saying is that with a monthly income of 4,000, they're not expected to pay tax. They're not supposed to pay any tax.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
but the other hand is the income ban. The income ban where currently for those earning 100,000 and above, they are already hitting the highest marginal tax rate. But now that 100,000 has increased to 400,000. So that's why we said that the higher income also get to benefit a little bit from this budget announcement, because now you don't get hit so fast. Mm-hmm. You just have to... You have the tiered rates that you can get to enjoy.
Right, so I'll just read that again. The current maximum tax rate at 26% will be reduced to 24.5% and 25%. This will result in the existing taxpayer enjoying a tax saving of at least 5.3%. So, hurrah, is what I have to say to that. When we come back...
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll be talking about, housing. We'll be talking about food prices, cigarettes and alcohol, and employment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Evening Edition, The Stripes, Monkey on BFM 89.9.
Behind famous men. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you. Budget 2015 has been tabled at Parliament, and we're taking you through some of the highlights of Budget 2015 with Ang Wei Na and Tan Hui Beng, tax experts from Deloitte. We've been talking. We were talking about the GST. We're talking about personal income tax. I think housing is something on everyone's minds. What happened in Budget 2015? What can we look forward to with regards to housing?
I think if we just reflect back on what happened in 2014, that greatest shock to the property developers was the removal or the elimination of DIPS. Yeah? Yeah.
Oh, DIPS. Yes.
Yeah, DIPS. So, of course, people anticipate that it's going to cost even more burden or hardship, especially for the first-time buyers. Right.
So just to explain to people what DIBS is, it's basically property developers can't actually use the money to collect interest and collect in advance of actually giving people something tangible, right?
Or
right?
They actually bear their interest during the construction period. Right. So I just put a deposit. Until the time I get the keys to the house, I don't have to pay a single cent. Mm-hmm. So at least it helps to ease up the financial burden of first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but what we have heard in 2015 budget, Minister of Finance has actually announced the Youth Housing Scheme. Apparently, it's a smart partnership between the government, Bank Simpanan Nasional, the EPF, and Chagamas. So what's this going to say is that they're offering a funding limit for a first home. Uma, it's not your first home, right?
Damn it.
And the first home...
Tani's 10th home.
Oh, shush. I work in radio. No, boleh beli 10 homes.
And it must not exceed $500,000 ringgit. Okay.
Right.
And interestingly, for married youth, hear this out, youth aged between 25 and 40 years.
That's what I like. I like the married. The married also.
Okay.
As in, you have to be married.
Yes.
That's discrimination against single people. You know, I always say this. It's terrible. All right, go on.
And then with household income, so the married couple must not have a household income exceeding 10,000 ringgit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you're unlucky in love and then you don't get housing.
You don't get house or so.
So the maximum loan period is 35 years. So what the government has promised to say that, hey, they're going to provide the monthly financial assistance of 200 ringgit to the borrowers for the first 2 years. And then they are also going to give a 50% stamp duty exemption on the instrument of transfer agreements and loan agreements. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, that's very, very good. But of course, I mean, the restrictions, however, leave it a little,
Well, it's in the limitations as to who it's targeted at.
Yeah, And I did I think I did hear what the Minister of Finance says is just limited to 22,000 properties or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So he says, and I quote, I urge the youth to grab this opportunity which is offered on a first-come, first-served basis. For 20,000 units only. So this is
Go for it.
It's like a bank marketing scheme, right? come fast, get discount.
But get married first.
Get married first. Yeah. Oh, I can see the fraud already. Anyway. but now, was there any announcements on real property gains tax?
Nothing? No, we did not see that. I mean, we have already seen the increase in the rates since 2013 and 2014. That itself, whether it has stabilized the speculation in the property market, we didn't really see that effective. And based on statistics, what we heard that it was pretty mild.
On RPGT, just one administrative proposal is that all this while RPGT is that you got to fill up the form, you pay, and then get it assessed. And the proposal is then to have RPGT being self-assessed as like our individual tax and corporate tax as well. So that is going to be the way forward. Self-assessment for RPGT. Yeah.
Interesting. Right. Yeah. And so where is it currently standing? Just elaborate again. Isn't it? It's now 3 years and 5 years, right? The current real property gains tax, if you get rid of a property.
I mean, for individuals like you and I, if you have held the assets for more than 5 years, then it's zero. Right?
It's exempt,
Whereas for companies, after 5 years, it's maintained at 5%.
Right. Yeah. Okay, okay. So I guess good news for you young people who are married between 25 and 40. Also, an interesting note about youth as well and housing is that the government's going to establish One Malaysia Youth City, right? Now, this is interesting. It's supposedly supposed to provide a comprehensive ecosystem for youth to increase their capabilities and progress in work, business, and entrepreneurship, as well as enjoy housing, recreational, and sports facilities.
Youth ghetto, essentially.
Right? But they're allocating $100 million to fund 3 pilot projects in Peninsula, Sabah, and Sarawak. Mm. So it's going to be like this... I don't know how to describe it.
Youth ghetto.
It sounds almost like... it sounds like one of those weird utopias that they try to build on television, right? So, yeah, I don't know how well that's going to work. So, moving on. We've got... there was a tweet that came in that was asking whether there was anything for the elderly and the retired.
No, we did hear that there were wish lists, as in, hey, can we get grandparents relief, tax reliefs, yeah? Now that we have the spouse, the children, and of course, if you're encouraging the elderly to be with you, expenses and all that needs to be incurred, some form of relief. Unfortunately, there was nothing.
Marginalised communities, how about, say, single women, for example, single mothers, rather?
We did hear a lot of schemes, getting them to be more entrepreneur, especially in the one of the pillars where they want to encourage women workforce. Mm. Yeah, but nothing in particular about new tax reliefs for single women
and mothers.
No. Yeah.
The one thing I did come across was establishing additional 5 senior citizens activity centres. There are already apparently 45 of these centres nationwide, and senior citizens care services programs that provides free transportation for senior citizens to hospitals.
Well, that sounds, I suppose, from the surface, it sounds pretty good. Is it?
I guess. I think old people would prefer tax exemptions. and
discounts.
And discounts and all. It could help. So, yeah, we're taking you through Budget 2015. We're going to be talking a little bit about, corporations and businesses in a little while. But let me just very quickly tell you a couple of more things that were announced in the education sphere. I believe that the Prime Minister announced about $800 million, if I'm not mistaken, for education, of which... $250 million would be for national schools, $50 million for Tamil schools, $50 million for religious schools, $50 million for Chinese schools, $25 million for Chinese secondary schools. So there's a across the board. I mean, there was a recent banter a bit about revisiting vernacular schools in UMNO General Assembly and stuff. But
it seems as though it's going to go on.
Yeah, given what the Prime Minister and the amount of money he's allocated, I guess that's just. Noise. Well, we'll be coming back in a little while. Don't go anywhere. More Budget 2015 for you. BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM.
89.9.
Good evening. This is the Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you. We're taking you through Budget 2015 with tax partners from Deloitte. We've got Ang Wei Na and Tan Hui Beng with us. They've been breaking everything down for you. You know, one piece of good news, I guess, nothing about syntax. I guess that's a good news for some people.
For a while.
Yeah, we didn't hear that, even though just very recently there was increase in prices.
Increase and then decrease.
So I think a lot of the analysts which we were reading over the last few days were expecting alcohol and cigarette prices to go up, but meh. Well, you know, when times are tough, people need to get drunk and smoke a lot, right? So, there we go. So let's talk about, Hubeng, let's talk about, I guess, corporate modernization. What is in it for corporations and businesses?
One of the objective, the Prime Minister has mentioned that we must become a high income advanced economy by 2020.
Yes.
That's a big term, right? Now, in so doing, we need to continue to strengthen the economic growth. And of course, one of the ways is to automate industry, modernize industry. It simply means less human labor, but probably more advanced machinery and equipment. So this is a very interesting proposal for the very first time in over the last 40 years, right? A taxpayer probably will be given a capital allowance of 200%. This is the very first time it has been introduced to the taxpayer. Capital allowance of 200% for certain industry that use high-tech machines, for example, in the rubber products, plastic, woods and furniture. What it meant is that it simply means that, for example, if you acquire a plant and machinery, high tech plant and machinery for 200 million, you get a capital allowance of 400 million, and that's huge, right? Enormous amount. But it's for a certain period, for 2015 to 2017. So this is really one of the mega incentive, I would say. Yeah.
Right. And you see that as a positive thing?
Definitely, because you must encourage modernization, right?
Yeah. Right. One interesting thing that popped up, I guess, with regards to workforce, of course, is there's a big measure for enhancing graduate employability. And the statistic is quite scary because the Prime Minister said it is estimated that 53,000 graduates remain unemployed after 6 months of graduating. So to enhance the employability, the government proposes like skill training programs and all of these things, right? One thing which I find amusing about that statement is I don't know how many of these, well, Gen Y, Gen Z kids just don't want to work.
Oh, you know, that's a statement made by an old person.
No, but you know, don't you think? People, I mean, you know, within 6 months, maybe they just want a holiday for a bit. I mean,
everyone wants the holiday for a bit. Wena, don't you want to go on a holiday?
Yes, of course.
There you go.
So but I mean, given the kids, or I'll call them the kids, today, and what we were, it's not that we are not that.
Youth is 25 to 40.
Yeah, 25 to 40, right. Yeah. That's correct. But you do see that their commitment and what they look at, they don't look at long-term, long-life employment with one company. Mm. And is that, to me, it's, well, 6 months, 1 year, don't like it, I'll just leave. And they won't worry about their future income, or do they have enough to eat or anything, because they know that, oh, my parents will be there for me. They'll feed me. And in fact, maybe some of the parents will say, don't work, you know. So this is the thing, the trend that we are looking at the young ones. But unfortunately, I mean, we're not saying that all of them are like that. Yeah, it's just exceptional few.
Yeah, so one of the strategies as well, which was, I think we've seen it for one of the first times in a budget, is this upholding the role of women.
Yes.
And it was one of the seven thrusts.
Yeah, so in terms of upholding the role of women, what exactly is in Budget 2015?
I think if you recall, last year there was something on that they encourage, or they had programs to move ladies or to train ladies up so that they can become directors hold more important positions,
yes,
in the board. So more announcements were made this time around, where we heard that they want to encourage more women to take up positions. I think they were looking at 125 positions in the GLCs,
that's right,
yeah, and private companies to be members of the board. So the take that, and I think if using his words, he says women forms very, they are pivotal to life or something to that extent. It's like, well...
Yeah, pivotal role in national development, right, and nurturing future generations.
Just like behind any man is a woman, or in this case, I don't know whether behind a woman is...
Well, it's in front of a man.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. He said, strengthening the Women's Directors Program to achieve 30% participation of women in decision-making positions. So it's a growing of what was said last year.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean there we have it. I mean, the budget's a huge document. I mean, the printed text we have at the moment is about 28 pages long.
Yeah. Economists are going to be poring over this for days and days and weeks and weeks. And, you know,
correct. I mean, we all we have is an hour and. And about 5 minutes to look through the document, right?
having said that, we have something very exciting happening on the 1st of November, we were just told as well.
Oh, yes. Well, you were very happy about this, Wayne.
I was quite surprised. And the Minister of Finance actually announced to celebrate National Sports Day. And when would that be? First Saturday in November every year.
Building fit Malaysians.
Yeah, that's what he said, with simultaneous participation of the public and private sectors, as well as the rakyat nationwide. Mm. I mean, as it is in the KL city, we're having the free or car-free road thing for the first Saturday, where you can
cycle.
Subsidies on bicycles would be nice. You know, if one can afford a bicycle these days, it doesn't matter.
They're so expensive,
say,
right?
They're too expensive.
But no, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's a very interesting thing, especially since I guess it works out very well politically for Khairi Jamaluddin and his whole Fit Malaysia campaign as well, right?
Yes.
So there we go, folks. That's a brief overview of everything. There's stuff on military expenditure, 9.1 billion for police, 17.7 billion for the military, on ESCOM and strengthening borders in Sabah. So, you know, feel free to pour over the document. It's available on all our major news portals. I'm sure the Morning Run, BFM's Morning Run, we'll be covering it in a lot more detail on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. All that's left for me to do is thank our honoured guests, Ang Wei Na, Tan Hui Beng. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure to be here.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you very much to Deloitte. We're going to take you to the news with a song, White Stripes, St. James Infirmary Blues, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.